Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Not bad. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing super. Wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. David, your observations from day one of Tennessee Titans training camp, what stood out to you yesterday with the first day of action on the field for the Titans?
Well, I think the jackrabbit effect was really obvious. We talked about it, you know, after the OTAs and the mini camp, that the way Jackrabbit Jenkins was competing out there, kind of on every single rep, would probably have a positive effect on the secondary as a whole, and I saw that yesterday. You saw guys really, you know, jumping hard on routes and defending passes all out in a way that you haven't seen around here in a long time. You know, Amani Hooker had a great interception early on. Breon Borders had one. I mean, there were guys making plays in the secondary, and you know, granted, it's the first day of training camp, but it's the kind of plays you frankly just didn't see a lot of in practice or in games or anything from this defense. And I think it's the kind of thing that can really translate as you go into the season.
I'm glad you mentioned that Breon Borders pick, because of course that was if I'm remembering correctly here, a DeShone Kizer sort of wait, okay, force one in, and great play by Borders. But I do wonder, early impressions and even just building off what you saw in the spring, what do you think of that number two QB battle, David?
It's going to be one of those things, Joe, that I think you kind of go back and forth on. Like coming out of mini camp, I felt a lot better about DeShone Kizer than I expected to. I was kind of watching him for his arm strength and things like that, and he's got a better arm than I always imagined he did. And I thought, you know, wow, between that and his sort of pedigree as a second round pick and what have you, that Logan Woodside's going to have a really hard time holding on to that job. But then you watched yesterday, and there were a couple of instances where it looked like Woodside just kind of held on to the ball too long. So you're thinking, well, does he not read the defense as well? Is it a product of the fact that he hasn't been played in a regular season game since 2018? Is it just the fact that, you know, he was the third guy going and maybe he was playing with lesser wide receivers? It's those kind of things that you're going to watch. But from the little bit I saw yesterday, I would say, you know, Woodside had a better day yesterday, and if I'm scoring right now, he's locked into number two.
David, it was interesting because you and I talked about this on the show about how Julio Jones has come in and slotted everybody where they need to be at wide receiver, and it's interesting. It feels like, based on the reaction in training camp day one yesterday and what we've seen so far throughout the offseason, guys like Chester Rogers and Marcus Johnson, obviously Des Fitzpatrick, who they just selected in the draft, and Racy McMath as well. It feels like they've got a lot of intriguing options at the bottom of that wide receiver room, and that maybe that position could become a position of strength, a position of good depth for the Titans. How do you think that's going to shake out? What do you think of the depth that they do have at wide receiver right now, obviously just one day into training camp?
Yeah, the question is, you know, what can they, how many of those guys can they keep, and what are they going to do with them if they keep that many? But I think it's when you talk about a guy like Chester Rogers, he's not a big name, but he's a guy who's played in this league and has caught more than a handful of passes, right? And Marcus Johnson is similar, doesn't have quite the numbers that Rogers did, and then you've got a guy like Cody Hollister, who clearly coaches and scouts and personnel people for this team like, because the guy's been around here for a few years, and the two draft picks you mentioned. So I think going back to Joe's question, it's going to make the quarterback battle in the preseason really, really interesting because both guys are going to have legitimate NFL receivers to throw to. I mean, I don't imagine Woodside and Kizer are going to be out there with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, but they are going to have, you know, quality targets. It's not going to be just guys out there kind of running, hoping to get open. It's guys who are going to know how to get open against NFL defensive backs to some degree, and should give the quarterbacks a pretty good look in the preseason games.
Speaking of the receivers and Julio Jones in particular, what's your read on this lawsuit, the cannabis company suing Julio, Roddy White, and their company?
Yeah, it's kind of a murky story, isn't it? You just kind of it doesn't add up in kind of what you would expect from two guys like from Julio Jones and Roddy White. But it's one of those things. I just look at it. It's one of those distractions that players hate, that coaches hate. You know, anything that anytime you have to answer questions that don't involve football, particularly at this time of year, it's one of those things that players don't want to have to do, and Julio Jones is going to have to do that now, and it's going to be hanging out there. I guess the big concern for the Titans is if it turns into some sort of thing that could draw a suspension from the league for whatever reason, you know, that all of a sudden you don't have Julio Jones for two or three or four games for something that has nothing to do with anything on the field. That I would guess that's got people a little bit on edge.
David Beauclair from SI.com on the line with us, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. And David, I do want to get your thoughts on the Predators as well. They've traded Ryan Ellis. They've traded Victor Arvidsson. Yesterday, when it looked like Granlund was gone and was hitting free agency, less than 2 hours later, he was back with a four-year deal with the Predators worth $20 million. What do you make of the moves that the Predators have made so far, the decision to bring Granlund back into the fold, and where do you think this team is right now as they currently sit with the moves they've made so far this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, you've basically given Victor Arvidsson's money to Mikael Granlund in a lot of ways there, which makes sense. You know, Arvidsson was sort of much more of a Laviolette player than he was a Hines player, and I think Granlund is clearly much more of a Hines player than he was a Laviolette player. So, a guy who, 4 years at his age, I think scares me just a bit, but you know, David Poile has said this wasn't going to be a complete rebuild, and I think it, as you kind of think back and see what's happening, this was probably, when he made that comment, this was probably a very important part of his thinking, that in terms of the continuity he was looking for, this was going to be a big piece of that, getting Granlund back. You know, I talked about the defenseman. I'm okay with trading Ryan Ellis. I don't think Ryan Ellis has been the same guy since the 2017 Stanley Cup final when he got injured. I think they need to get bigger and tougher on the back end. I'm okay with them making that trade and trying to add some size as they did there. As usual, I would say my early impressions of my recent impressions of these moves is, as usual, David Poile is true to his word and is shaking things up, but not tearing the thing all the way to the ground and starting over.
So would you put this team in the playoffs next season?
Not with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene playing the way they've played. No, I think they're sort of the foundation pieces. If they play like $8 million guys, then yes. If they don't play like $8 million guys, then no. I don't think so, because I don't think UC Soros is going to be able to do over 82 games what he did this past season. I think people are ignoring or overlooking that aspect of it. As great as he was for most of that season, that was a condensed season, and the 82 games is a longer, harder grind. There's more of the travel. There's all sorts of things that contribute to bad nights at the rink that this team's going to have to deal with next year, and you're just not going to be able to count on that kind of goaltending that you got.
David, great stuff as always, my friend. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning with great information as usual.
All right. Well, I'm happy to help. You guys have a great day.
That's right.
See you on the field.
Absolutely. David Beauclair from SI.com, one of the best in the business. Friend of the show here from David Beauclair with thoughts on the Titans and the Nashville Predators as well. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what David had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Sunday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. The next chance to participate coming up this Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Discussing the Tennessee Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, day two of training camp coming up today, and as you said, Taylor Lewan, maybe not quite as active yesterday as some people expected. I wouldn't read a whole lot into that. I think they're going to be very careful with Taylor Lewan, and as you've brought up a couple of times, I think maybe we're not talking about Taylor Lewan enough, maybe not the impact that he has on this offense coming back, probably not receiving as much attention as it should. But I think as long as they manage him throughout training camp, which Mike Vrabel will do, I don't know that we'll even see Taylor Lewan in any preseason games. We might, but I don't know how aggressive they're going to be on that front. But if he can get through training camp and be fully back and be healthy, that's a gigantic deal for this team. And to your point, probably a gigantic deal that we're not talking about anywhere nearly enough. Like that's a big-time gain for this offense. And I know that they were productive without him last year, and I know they still had a very good offense. But it wasn't the same. I mean, you could watch it and tell that their offense was changed with him not on the field. Getting him back is a big deal for this group.
No doubt. Yeah, huge deal. And just a really good player. And also look, he's a guy who brings energy and brings a loud voice. And I think he kind of like Malcolm Butler used to do defensively in a different way. But, you know, those guys, especially during these dog days, I mean, what's it going to be, about 110 degrees out there today?
It's going to be pretty hot.
It's good to have guys like that. Interesting point by Beauclair, by the way, you know, on Jenkins, and that's a good observation. I guess I don't see like Jenkins being any more like competitive slash vocal than Butler used to be, but he's looked good out there, and it was a good day for the DBs yesterday. But yeah, Lewan is a huge part of this offense. Early on, that's the thing, is this offense looked a lot different than it did later without him. They had to adjust some things. Arthur Smith did a great job really keeping the production up, and Tannehill and everybody else still in the offense, but it was different. And you can do a lot more things when you have a guy over there where you're like, yep, he's got that area protected. Whoever's over there, we feel like he can block someone without help. And that's just a big bonus for any team that has a guy like that at left tackle protecting a right-handed quarterback's blind side. And this is also, this year, you know, if you're a fan, you look at Lewan, you look at Kevin Byard. The nature of this business is, you know, deals like that with money like that are up for review.
Yep. They're
very, very urgent review in these buildings, and you just never know how things are going to go. But right now, I'd say Lewan is absolutely worth the money when he's healthy and playing his best. And Todd Downing's out there yesterday. That's something I noticed too, by the way. Todd Downing is he's got a voice. I mean, he's an intense guy out there now that he's in charge of the offense. And I also noticed that Todd Downing, man, has a lot to work with. Not that we didn't know this, but when you see it on the field, it's quite impressive.
Pretty good time to be Todd Downing. Were there any early impressions from Dylan Radunz yesterday? Obviously a guy that's going to receive a lot of attention. How quickly can he be ready to play at right tackle? How quickly will he be ready? And how quickly do the Titans trust him to go out there and play significant snaps? Anything that stood out with him yesterday in day one?
I barely watched him.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You can't watch everybody.
No, you can't.
But Kendall Lamb right now is, you know,
I would say
Kendall
he's the
Lamb
one.
Is, yeah, if they played a game today, Kendall Lamb starting right tackle. But that's no surprise. So it will be I will make a note of that to watch Dylan Radunz
every snap today.
Because it is. I mean, it's a lot of pass pro, and he still gets, you know, reps against, you know, some good players out there. And when the pads go on, a little bit more of an idea on those guys up front. But that's going to be important for the Titans, you know, for a second-round pick to get ready, for a first-round pick to get ready too.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to your point about Todd Downing, how quickly the offense could come together. I mean, the good thing that you have, in addition to the talent, which is obvious, but the good thing you have is a lot of these guys were here, and it's the same, and it's the same system. Now, you've got, obviously, Julio coming in and Josh Reynolds coming in and some additions along the way, but a lot of these guys have been here on the line especially, and I think sometimes that can be overlooked as well. Having that continuity on the offensive line and bringing in a little bit more depth there is a big deal. And Dennis Kelly, look, I think Dennis Kelly's a significant loss, and congrats to him for landing with the Green Bay Packers yesterday. I was wondering when somebody would come in and swoop him up, and Dennis Kelly signing yesterday with the Green Bay Packers. But other than him, I mean, they've had some additions there as well, but most of that line is the same, and that's a big deal for this offense, I think.
I agree. And because, look, Ben Jones is he's up there, and he's been a really, really – you think about the moves John Robinson has made, ton of moves here in 5 years. You know, getting Ben Jones that first offseason has worked out awfully well for him. But it's good to have, like, an Aaron Brewer developing behind him. It's still good right now to have David Quessenberry playing left tackle with the ones, and you know you're going to get a good look, and you got a guy who knows what he's doing, who had to play a lot last year at that position and start when Sombrallo went down. You know Sombrallo's going to come back. Your depth there. You got Lamb for more depth. So it is it's a good situation. I think it's one of the strengths of the team. And a lot of that has to do with, of course, Saffold and Nate Davis at the guard positions. I think you could make a case, especially when the Titans are leaning into a defense and running the football. That's an awfully strong tandem of guards, you know, relative to the rest of the NFL. Saffold, I thought, looked really in great shape, by the way, yesterday. He was one of the guys we got to talk to in the mix zone.
Yes. How was that?
Fenced. It's pretty – it's not bad. It's better than I thought it would be. I just wasn't sure. I mean, a constant annoyance, of course, for people like me is TV people. I love you all, but you got your big clunky cameras and, you know, and so – but what happens so far, what happened yesterday is – so these guys basically kind of walk through. There's a fence. So it's like a bike fence, and then they're 6 feet, and we're on one side of our fence, and then the players are on their side of their fence. And there's some crafty folks out there who brought their – like, you know, their sticks to put their recorder on. Like, Kaharsky's out there. He's basically got his camera right in the face of these guys with his stick, you know, standing on the fence. But that's smart. But the cameras are all bunched up in the middle. So as long as you can get someone before they go into the Bermuda Triangle of TV, you can actually – I'm like, got a really good interview with Saffold. It was almost like being in the locker room talking to somebody. And it was just like, man, good to see you in person.
Right.
And he was great. I mean, he had some really interesting things to say. I didn't write any of this stuff, but he used the term insanely confident for the Titans. He said they are insanely confident. Also, that they need to be humble. He talked about the vaccine as well. You know, he was one of those guys in the spring that had not decided to do it. said he was leaning toward it, and he's in the process. So, because right now, see, with the vaccine, you can see during warmups who's wearing masks. So that tells you either A, unvaccinated, or B, in the process, not complete. Like Saffold said, his doctor told him 14 days after the second shot, then you can just get rid of the mask.
Right.
So he talked a lot. Saffold's one of the best talkers on the team. So he talked a lot about that decision, but also just about the belief that this team can be special. And he definitely holds that belief.
You brought this up with David Beauclair, and we got to it a little bit on the show yesterday, but Julio Jones, there is a lawsuit out there, and it basically ties he and his former teammate Roddy White together. And in the lawsuit, basically Jones and White are alleged of basically colluding with a guy and running a black market cannabis operation out of a facility of this company.
Well, they had a business.
Right.
And then they stopped reporting it according to this lawsuit.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they were already in it, which was on the up and up, legal,
sure,
selling cannabis, California company.
Right.
You sell all the cannabis you want. But yeah, basically the lawsuit saying that since March they stopped reporting it, which, like in the lawsuit, like they're money laundering or whatever.
Estimating about $3 million of cannabis harvested and sold illegally since March of 2021.
So if you're Julio Jones, I mean, this is one of those things, obviously it's his company. He and Roddy White have this company but if you're Julio Jones, are you willfully doing something to sell $3 million of something, given where you are in life and how much money you've made and are going to continue to make?
Doesn't really add up to me.
It's hard to – I mean, I have no idea. But we'll see, and we'll see if it gets to the level of criminal charges. I mean, this is just a lawsuit right now, which I suspect will probably be turned into a settlement of some kind and will go away. That'd be my guess. But as Beauclair said, it could linger. It's going to be asked of Julio the first time he talks to us. And it's a distraction you certainly don't like. I look at it, though, and it screams to me, something happened, something got messed up. I'm guessing Julio Jones, in preparation for the season, wasn't, actively out there conspiring, to do something. Who knows? But it just reads, it screams settlement to me. Here's a couple million dollars. Thank you. Good night. We'll see.
See what happens on that front. We'll see how Julio Jones addresses that when the time comes, when he addresses the media for the first time here in training camp here in Nashville. When we come back, Ryan Tannehill took the mic yesterday and had some interesting comments on the vaccine and how that relates to him. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it was an interesting day yesterday in day one of Titans training camp, both on the field and off the field as well. Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill addressing the media yesterday. And of course, you knew it would come up, the topic of vaccinations coming up, and the Titans announcing yesterday that 90%, around 90% of their team has been vaccinated as they now sit here in training camp. And Ryan Tannehill was asked about that and his decisions that go into the vaccination as well. And that led to a very interesting discussion. Here's what Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill had to say yesterday in day one of training camp.
That's all restrictions over vaccinations, making guys miserable. Do you think that's influencing guys' decisions to go ahead and do it? Did it influence yours?
Oh, no doubt. I wouldn't have gotten the vaccine if without the protocols that they're enforcing on us. I think it's a personal decision for everyone. Everyone has to make the best decision for them and their families. That's kind of our mindset in this building. But they're trying to force your hand, and they ultimately have forced a lot of hands by the protocols, which is, everyone has their own opinions on. So it is what it is. I love this game. I love this team. I want to be able to compete and do the things that, I think are important to build chemistry and win football games. So ultimately that forced my hand into getting the vaccine.
Other than the protocols, any conversations in the midst of making that decision that help ease your mind, medical professionals, people that were brought into the team, what were the conversations like as you went through that process?
Yeah, there were a ton of conversations. The team brought people in to talk to us, doctors to talk to us. There was a lot of conversations in the spring. I think our numbers were obviously lower in the spring with who was vaccinated. Had a ton of conversations in the spring, strong opinions about it as there are everywhere. And ultimately, I think
I think the sound cut out on us there, but Ryan Tannehill addressing the media yesterday discussing vaccinations and saying basically, you know, the NFL's policy on this kind of forced his hand, and that's the reason that he got the vaccination and that he is now, I believe, in process is the term that he used yesterday, which means not quite complete yet with the vaccinations, but he has begun that process of being vaccinated. Joe, you were there yesterday for Tannehill's press conference, and you've put something up at The Athletic about it as well. What were kind of your takeaways from that? What stood out to you about that conversation of Ryan Tannehill basically saying the NFL's policies are forcing players' hands to get the vaccine at this stage of the offseason, now heading into training camp?
Well, he's clearly accurate. I mean, look at the effect in a pretty short period of time, and I think we're seeing with this team, I think you're seeing with a lot of teams, of what the NFL put out last week. I don't think there's any doubt that this has tipped the scales for a lot of people. And look, the first thing I'll say about Tannehill on everything he said yesterday is I appreciate him being honest and being willing to engage in this and just talk about how he feels about it, because everyone should feel like they can talk about it. This is not an easy, simple, you're an idiot if you do this or you're an idiot if you do that conversation. A lot of people want to make it that simple, and a lot of people on social media made it that simple as soon as these comments were tweeted out.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. I also, though, will say, so there was a lot of, first of all, it was great to be in a press conference because, again, on Zoom, this doesn't happen. On Zoom, it's like, here's what I say, and here is the next person to ask. I mean, we were able to say, hey, like, that was me asking a question. I asked another follow-up. Okay, but did your mind get eased at all? And John Glennon asked another follow-up, like, what is your reasoning? Like, why do you not feel good against the virus? And this is where I frankly wish Ryan would have chosen the other way. He sat there, he smiled, he's like, do I want to get into this? No, I'm not. And then we moved on to different topics and he was out of there, but I wish he would have talked about it. Because I think, again, there's a reasonable discussion to be had with this. And frankly, I'm sitting there like, we're all vaccinated. I made the decision. Well, all of us in the world, well, hopefully everyone in the world has the choice soon enough. But in this country, we all have the choice, right? And I'm like, so what am I missing? What, Ryan, tell me, I got vaxxed. I've got a 16-year-old vaxxed. I got a 13-year-old one shot and about to get a second this weekend. So tell me what you know that I don't know. Like, we're all in this discussion about this vaccine. Again, the reasonable discussion. If Tannehill was about to say, like, I think LeBron and Bill Gates created the virus in China and, like, we're all have chips in our brains. Okay, well, then now, okay, then social media, call him an idiot. You know, he's an idiot. Fine. But if there's a reasonable discussion about worries about long-term side effects, all these things, I wish he would have gone into that. I mean, it's, hey, we're all trying to figure out what the right thing to do is, those of us who haven't done it yet. I feel comfortable getting it. And I actually, now that we're this far along, I mean, if you're going to have bad side effects, usually in a vaccine, and this is an absolute fact, it's early. As time has gone on, I felt better about it, you know. But that said, the fury that followed him on this was overboard with some people. And it's also interesting that I thought of a year ago with Tannehill, and I wrote this, we at The Athletic, we put something up, and I was asked, sometimes we have these headlines, and they'll ask writers, like, weigh in on this topic, like, you know, answer this question. And the question I was asked was, what will this do with Tannehill's status as a leader, basically, right? Like, how does this affect his leadership of the team? And for one thing, the first thing I thought of was, well, if you think it's going to hurt it, you're wrong.
Right.
And I don't think it's going to, like, look, I mean, will it hurt him with some fans who are angry that he's not, like, basically promoting the vaccine? Yeah, and I get that. Like, it is a personal choice, but it does affect other people.
Well, that's fine, but he got it. Like, I don't understand what you're upset about. He got the vaccine, and I understand maybe he didn't answer it the way you wanted him to do it, but he still got it. So what are you mad about?
Well, I think – I agree. I think what you're mad about is these people have platforms and maybe can influence people. So I am a person who would like – everyone to get the vaccine so we can move into more safety and fewer people die. So if someone like Ryan Tannehill uses their platform and says the vaccine's good, well, that's great. But then again, I also don't expect someone to lie. So, right. So I like again, I'm not outraged about that. But it did make me think back to a year ago when they took the day off from practice after the Jacob Blake shooting.
Yeah.
And Tannehill enraged people, probably like a very different group of people he enraged. And he enraged people with the stuff he said then about this country being founded on racist ideas, and now he's enraging people with what he's saying. Hey, bottom line again, I appreciate him being willing to stand up there and talk about it. We're not, no one's going to agree on everything. This is going to go on and on and on. As far as him and his leadership in the locker room, things like that, I think he does speak for a lot of guys on his team. I think he speaks for a lot of guys in the league. And to your point, if you got it, that is it. Yes, you can influence people, but if you got it, you got it. And I think it also shows the NFL protocols are working. So,
Well, that's the thing. Like there was a conversation, and I saw this coming up in the reaction to Tannehill yesterday of like, or if you're the NFL, this is not what you want. You want a player coming up there and saying that. But I think if this is exactly what the NFL was shooting for. Like the Titans are at 90%. Tannehill, I mean, it sounds like, and I don't want to speak for him, but it sounds like, you know, Tannehill probably wasn't going to get the vaccine until the NFL announced what they did last week, and you know, forfeits are on the table, and came down as strongly on it.
He said it.
So I mean,
he said it.
If you're the NFL. And you can think whatever you want to about the NFL as a part of this, but the NFL, I think, is getting exactly what they wanted out of this.
I mean, in almost stunning levels, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but someone, I think, said, is it 88% now of the league? I think that's right.
Yeah.
86.9, something like that, is now at least in the process. I think, was it Seattle yesterday? Pete Carroll said that like there's one player who isn't, you know, they're all but one. So no, I mean, it's worked incredibly well. And I think it's a lot of people who were on the fence, but a lot of people that maybe weren't going to get it at all. And they're like, yeah, well, you have to. And Tannehill talked a lot about that, about why, you know, about being with the team and all that stuff. So status with team strong. I will also say from the NFL perspective, yeah, the bottom line is it works. But even like John Robinson yesterday and Mike Vrabel yesterday, you know, what they said about it was more probably what the NFL wants to hear, which is like, we hope to lead society here. Like, we're all doing it. Please, people out here. I don't know. What's the number in Tennessee? We're less than 50% vaccinated, right?
Last time I checked. I don't know if that's changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last time I checked.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, again, sports can lead society in a lot of ways. So the NFL would rather people say stuff like that. But you know what? Cole Beasley and Ryan Tannehill, all these guys, I mean, they're free people in this country, and I don't want them to lie or not be able to say what they think.
We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. So that was Ryan Tannehill yesterday at day one of Titans training camp discussing his decision to get vaccinated and what all kind of went into that, basically saying without the league coming down hard the way that they did about a week ago, Ryan Tannehill's probably not getting the vaccine. And that caused a lot of reaction yesterday on social media. And, Joe, you were asking the question earlier, how many players does Tannehill speak for in this? And look, I agree with you. From a leadership perspective, like the idea that this is going to hurt his leadership in that locker room, I think is – asinine.
Not remotely.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a ridiculous thought, to be honest with you. But how many players do you think he is speaking for? Do you think that there are a lot of players around the league that feel the same way that Ryan Tannehill does in what he vocalized publicly to the media yesterday?
Well, I don't think he speaks for I wouldn't say he speaks for the majority. I guess, I mean, if you want to break it down, like, who has gotten this because of last week? And who got it? I mean, there's probably more. It's not two groups, right? There's a lot of people who, I mean, again, like me. I mean, I guess in one way, if you're lucky enough to know some medical professionals, as we do, hey, early on this thing came out, I was very dubious. It was so fast. I tried to find everything out. And again, I think conversations are better than the internet if you can have them with real people who work in medicine.
Probably a good point.
And I came away feeling comfortable about getting it. I feel a lot more comfortable now that time has passed. There haven't been widespread serious side effects. And again, we're seeing the vaccine work incredibly well. Someone on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, said, since fully vaccinated people are still dying from COVID, do you still feel like you should get the vaccine? Here's my answer. Well, the numbers are overwhelming, and I mean overwhelming, that the bad issues and deaths right now are among unvaccinated. Nothing, including any vaccine, is going to be perfect, but I'm sure glad I got vaccinated, along with my wife and two kids who are eligible. Of the two choices, I believe it's the clear better one. How many NFL players feel this way? I would still guess a majority. I mean, a lot. Where were they? Around 70% before all this stuff with the NFL? Is that right? Overall.
Yeah.
In the league, about 70%.
And that's quickly shot up to the mid-80s.
Right.
Mid to high
80s. So now you're pushing, I mean, I bet you it won't be long. It's in the 90s. So if you broke it down in two groups, it's probably about maybe a quarter of the NFL, something like that, 30% of the NFL. And again, of that 70%, do they feel as good as like we felt after doing it, finding out everything we could find out? I don't know. Probably not. I mean, there's probably a huge range of concerns and levels of confidence. And again, I think misinformation and stupid stuff like the Feliciano guy from the Bills really clouds the whole discussion.
Speaking of stupid stuff, here's something from Raymond on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tannehill makes over $30 million a year and wants to whine about being made uncomfortable. Win a Super Bowl and maybe someone will care. Hashtag middle of the NFL QB.
Like, wow.
What does that have to do with this discussion?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a...
Shut up.
Yeah, that's a Tana hater who's now...
Yeah, I mean, he's just absolutely ignorant.
He's not whining. I mean, let's also remember this, folks. Tannehill didn't show up yesterday saying, guys, let's talk about the vaccine.
Exactly.
He was asking questions, and again, we fired a bunch of questions at him. He handled it well. I mean, look, I don't agree with like how he views the vaccine or his doubts about it. Like I said, I'm not kidding when I say, dude, tell me what you know that I don't know. I'm good for the more information we can all have, the better. But I very much appreciate how he handled it. I wish he would have gone a little bit further, but he handled it. Yeah, this is someone you want leading your football team.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, what is the NFL's plan when these vaccinated players get the virus and start spreading it to each other? I personally look at a country like Singapore, where 75% of all infected are already vaccinated. Do they let them keep playing? Do they still get punished because they have the virus even though they're already vaccinated? So what is the NFL's plan on that regard?
Well, there's a lot of it's kind of like last year. There were a lot of questions like, what about this, and they kind of went as they went. So I don't have an answer to that if that happens. And definitely in terms of spreading, I mean, that's one thing the CDC came out with this week, Centers for Disease Control, a good source of information, and did come out with like the spreading is worse with the vaccine than they hope. Now, the symptoms, the danger, overwhelmingly in favor of the vaccinated, but that's a good question. I don't know. If you have outbreaks, we do know that unvaccinated outbreaks are treated differently than vaccinated outbreaks in terms of competitive advantage, but
right,
there's still a lot to find out, and frankly, I hope we don't find out the answer to that one.
Yeah, hope we leave that one alone. That would be good. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texting in, everyone should have their own choice to get it or not get the vaccine, but I understand why the NFL is basically mandating it without specifically mandating it, if I could read.
Yeah, I mean, it's close. It's close to a mandate.
It's about as close as it gets.
I wasn't sure, for people who, because, look, some people feel how they feel and they're not going to do it. Like Cole Beasley had a press conference yesterday, and I think it's pretty clear he's not going to get it, right?
Right.
I'll also say, by the way, listening to some of that press conference, there's another example of, speaking often is better than tweeting.
Yes.
Like, I had more sympathy for him and stuff he was saying than some of his dumb tweets.
Yeah, social media is not a good place.
Yeah, it's problematic. But, look, I mean, I would not have said a week ago, I think we said when it happened, well, this is going to have an impact. I wasn't sure it would have this dramatic an impact. And I would say you're going to be left with the guys who just feel really, who just obviously are not going to budge. And in some cases, I think for bad reasons. But, you know, everyone has their personal reasons. Now, speaking of bad tweets, by the way, I think the dumbest yet came in response to Ron Rivera. Did you see this one?
No. I mean, I saw Ron Rivera's comments on it. I did not see a tweet in response.
Yeah, so, and this is where... this is where people are stupid. I don't know what else to say about it. So TJ Ward, okay. Ron Rivera had his, you know, pretty emotional press conference where he was like, man, it's frustrating that so many of the Washington football team won't get vaccinated, and you know, obviously he has compromised. He's been fighting cancer. TJ Ward basically said, you know, well, you shouldn't have gotten cancer then, Ron. I mean, basically, like, why don't you make better choices in your life to get cancer? I mean, obviously, not knowing, I guess, that cancer can be hereditary and have nothing to do with anything you do. I mean, it can have something to do with your choices in life, but it was – I don't have the exact quote for me. He's obviously deleted it, but there was a big
hullabaloo
about that. And, yeah.
Social media continues to be a fun place.
Social media and 5 cent doctors – can be a problem.
I would say so. Now, I will say this, like, with the uptick being as prevalent as it is, like the forfeit option that we've talked so much about here, that, you know, I think the NFL obviously wants to avoid at all costs, and I'm still convinced probably would try to find a way to avoid at all costs. Like, if it keeps trending this way with players, it's probably not even going to be on the table at that point. Like, if you've got, let's say, by the time the season starts, 90-95% of the league vaccinated, like, probably not going to be any forfeits at that point, would be my guess.
Yeah. That's the idea. So it's worked. Again, I mean, to the earlier question in the text line, you know, if you get to that point, then are you free and clear? I mean, it doesn't seem that way. So that's kind of an interesting next question then, too. So what if you get to this, whatever the level is, and basically everybody's vaccinated.
Right.
Except for a handful of people. Well, then what if you do have outbreaks still? You know, do you now? I mean, the way they made it sound is it's only in the case of teams that are, which I guess right now would be still like the Washington football team.
Yeah.
Still, I guess, the Colts. But then do you revisit? Do you go more like last year? With every attempt and all over the schedule and the
moving games
the
to
week.
Wednesday.
Yeah. To get them in. I don't know.
I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens on that front. Hopefully, we don't have to see what happens on that front in the National Football League. When we come back, we will get back into the news of the day for the Predators yesterday. An important player back in the fold, also addressing the backup goaltender position as well. What do we think of the moves? Where does this Predators team currently stand in the pecking order of the NHL? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.